Rat Pack, where you at?
Yo, what's up? It's Thursday, November 21st. I'm Jeff, this is The Rant, and got a quick one for you today. And I think that's actually a good thing. Obviously, tomorrow we'll break down all the remaining games on the slate. But why I say it's a good thing, there's not a ton of injury information to get into today. So we'll rip through everything here, get you set up with the latest information possible. Of course, if you want information galore, stats, all kinds of goods, head on over to ftnfantasy.com. The website is, it's just constantly getting better. That's what I love about it. We're not satisfied with just giving you the same old. We're always adding more and more stuff to the site. So go check it out if you haven't been there recently, ftnfantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Let's dive into some of the news from today. On the injury front, first and foremost, and I want to focus first on Mike Evans. So he practiced yesterday. It went down as a limited session. Limited isn't always the best when you've missed time, but there's a lot of optimism that he is going to play in this one. So we did hear that yesterday and actually already have news today from reporters that he was spotted at the open session or open portion of practice, the media portion of practice. So if you have Evans, I think you're probably pretty good. I don't expect any limitations on him when he's out there, so you could just fire him up like usual. And really, for that Buccaneers passing game, Baker Mayfield, you really only have two main options that are not running backs. It's Mike Evans and Cade Otton. And I don't think Cade Otton's volume goes anywhere. I mean, Evans is going to be the primary, but I think we could still see 7 or 8 targets for Cade Otton. If this dude sees 7 or 8 targets, it's going to be really hard for him to not be a tight end one. So if you carried him through the bye, I think you're probably in a good spot at that notoriously tricky position. As far as Mike Evans is concerned, I mean, he does have history on the line here. So we're coming down the home stretch. He's not even remotely close to 1,000 yards yet, but there are enough games left where I think this is still doable for him to keep this streak alive. Of course, he has a 10-season streak with over 1,000 receiving yards. He has 335 right now. Like, he has a much better shot at double-digit touchdowns because he currently has 6 than he does of hitting 1,000 yards. But honestly, if he goes out there, has a nice big day now, which I'd be okay with, then he'll be on his way. But the good news is, like I said, looks like he's trending towards getting back on the field. Let me update, and this was not a situation I expected to update, but let me update the Raiders backfield. So we are hearing from the beat that Dylan Lauby is expected to be a big part of the game plan this week against the Denver Broncos. So if you've been paying attention, we have injuries in that backfield to Zamir White and Alexander Mattison. Mattison has an ankle issue. White has a quad issue. The initial speculation from, you know, some of the injury folks out there was the more severe injury of the two was the Mattison injury. So if you have Mattison, I would not expect him to play. White could go either way, but the fact that we're hearing about Lauby is a good indicator that there isn't a lot of optimism for White. Now, of course, you're going to have to face the Denver Broncos. It's not easy. That Broncos defense is pretty solid. But the nice thing about Lauby is he can catch the ball to the backfield. So you have that. I don't know how much he adds between the tackles necessarily, but I don't really think that's going to be the factor here. Denver Broncos are pretty heavily favored in this contest. So all said and done, what are we doing here? Again, don't expect Mattison. I wouldn't want White regardless. So if I'm in a situation where I'm royally screwed by bye weeks, if I'm in a situation where I've been treading water at running back, maybe I have 1 or 2 really decent startable options, but otherwise I don't have anybody else, I don't hate running out and grabbing him because you could see some flex value, especially if you're in a PPR or half point PPR format. I don't hate it. You know, that's a move where, you know, again, I when I'm adding a player, I say, can this dude star for me? And if the answer is no, then I'm not going to add that player. Like, no, never. I'm not adding that player. I'm not adding players just for the sake of adding players. There is at least a pathway to some decent touches for Lauby here. And let's face it, if he goes out and has a decent enough game, Could they use him more down the stretch? Sure. Why wouldn't they? You know, to see what they have. So those are the types of darts that I like to throw at this time of year. So it's an interesting one there with Laube. We'll see if he ends up getting that role, because obviously we still have two more days of practice reports. I don't have practice reports for Thursday for that backfield as of right now. Yesterday, I saw, speaking of running backs, I saw an all-time misleading, like perhaps one of the most misleading social media posts regarding a player's practice status I've ever seen. Like all-timer. The tweet, and I'll paraphrase it, said something to the effect of DeAndre Swift is out, and out put it on all caps, from practice today. And it's like, bro, come on. That is not what out means. Out has a very specific meaning in the NFL. When you say somebody is out, you mean they are not playing in this week's game. That's what out means. It does not mean you miss practice. When you miss practice, the three letters we use are not OUT, but rather DNP. So I saw that one. I know the panic of a third or a Wednesday, like a first practice missed practice. I know the panic that creates in people. But, well, first and foremost, let's reset. The secret to fantasy football is don't freak out. And I say this all the time, and I know some people are like, yeah, you say that. But I mean it. Like, seriously, when I started to actually become a little bit better at this game was when I stopped overreacting to every last thing that happens. And an overreaction doesn't just mean get angry. An overreaction can mean thinking somebody's way better than they really are based on last week's performance. An overreaction could be get worried because a guy missed the first practice of the week. Like, there's all kinds of different overreactions. And if you can get rid of those, you start to make better decisions in fantasy. So what have I learned over the years? First practice of the week really doesn't mean much, especially when we're in mid to late November. Guess what? These guys get banged up. Professional football is a ridiculously taxing sport on the body. I mean, all professional sports really are. But these guys get banged up and they play through injuries. So what's going to happen with DeAndre Swift? I don't know. I'm not on the medical staff with the Chicago Bears. I'm not DeAndre Swift. I'm not at Matt Eberflus or Thomas Brown or anybody involved with that organization. All I can tell you is this. The first practice of the week does not mean he's going to be out. So here's what we do instead of overreacting, or at least what I do. I'm going to look to what the information that I'm presented with tells me. So DNP on the first practice of the week doesn't tell me much. Second practice, I might be able to get a little bit more insight, but still won't tell me much. So let's say he goes DNP again today. He could still play. Unless we're told he's out, he could still play. So what I would be looking for tomorrow is either a DNP limited, or, hey, great if he's taken off the injury report. But let's say he goes three straight DNPs. He's listed as questionable. They call him a game time decision. You know what's going to happen? He's not going to play. If he's limited and he's questionable and they call him a game time decision, you know what's going to happen? He's probably going to play. You know, my experience, those practice patterns indicate that. Now, not 100% of the time. I've seen guys in those situations not suit up, but I would say he's probably going to play. If he goes limited today, he's going to play. You know, he's going to play. So here's, you know, the approach. Like, wait till we get the information. And in the meantime, while we're waiting, instead of freaking out, let's have a plan in place in case he doesn't play. And if you're relying on him as a starter, then you need that plan. And let's hope for the best. Now, is the plan Roshon Johnson? I don't know. It might be. Maybe you have other folks on your bench who you could start as well. I mean, I'm not going to be as bullish about Roshon Johnson as I would be DeAndre Swift. I don't think Roshon Johnson is as good of a fit for this run scheme as Swift is. But he'll likely be a flex or better with so many guys on bye. So that could be your fallback plan. But it doesn't have to be, and I wouldn't go out of my way dropping somebody just to grab him if I already have somebody on my bench who I can start in place of him. So again, like, reacting, not overreacting to all this stuff is going to really help people out. I can't tell you how many people out there I see overreact to kind of everything in fantasy football, and a lot of times it really isn't worth it. All right, let me talk about Isaiah Pacheco. So he was limited in practice yesterday. not the best start to the week, but an encouraging start that he's at least practicing, right? We knew they were angling towards him potentially returning this week, but I really want to see him rattle off some full practices. Like, he could still suit up even if he goes limited straight through the week, but my experience is when a guy is coming back from injured reserve, PUP, NFI, and they're limited all week, typically they don't suit up that week. Doesn't mean he won't, right? There's no 100% of the time rules for this sort of stuff. There isn't. There's no rules. So if Pacheco plays, what do we expect? My expectation if Pacheco plays is he's right back to the lead back role, and it is not a timeshare backfield. When I talk about a timeshare backfield, I'm talking about at least two running backs. Well, really two running backs. Committee would be more than two running backs. So two running backs sharing the workload. I do not see that happening. Why? I mean, first and foremost, Pacheco is a significantly better player than Kareem Hunt at this point in their respective careers. Kareem Hunt was slow and sluggish as the lead back. Now, to his credit, I'm going to give him the shout out here. He carried a big workload for the Kansas City Chiefs, but he didn't do so generating explosive plays. You know, he didn't, you know, he barely topped 4 yards per carry this past week and otherwise was under it for basically the entire time he was the lead back. Did a little bit in the passing game, but even recently hasn't even been scoring touchdowns. So you put Pacheco in there, it's a big upgrade. Now, granted, this week, in theory, they shouldn't have any problem with their opponent. It's not a trap game. I really don't think it is. But I had somebody who said, well, do you think they would use Kareem Hunt as well? And it's like, well, if they don't tell us that's part of the game plan, I would not assume that that would be the case. In other words, I know what the dude was asking me. He was basically asking me, can I still use Kareem Hunt as a flex? If Pacheco's good, I would not do that. Now, I could end up being wrong. Hey, I've been wrong plenty of times before, but I would not do that. I would not put myself at risk. You know, really the move with Kareem Hunt was to trade him away a couple weeks ago, and a lot of people missed that window. And I talked about this on my SiriusXM show today, but I know why that is. There's a psychological element to fantasy when it comes to trading. When people want to trade a player away is not when that player is doing good things for fantasy. It's when they're doing bad things, right? Player goes out, has a crappy game. I want to trade this guy away. That's the reaction. And really, it's the exact opposite reaction that we should have, because if he has a bad game, you're not the only person who saw it. Everybody saw it, right? So we're selling low on that dude. And there's no way to make a profit if you buy high and sell low. You're not making a profit that way. What we want to do is we want to sell high and buy low. So I always give that advice, like, okay, you want to trade him away? Wait until he has a big game and then trade him away. And what ends up invariably happening for most people is wait until he has a big game. He has a big game. And then the instinct isn't trade him away. It's, oh, all is right now. Everything's okay. We can keep him now on the roster because now he's producing. And that'll happen. You know, it wasn't that Kareem Hunt had a down game. He was producing. So a lot of fantasy managers didn't want to get rid of him. They didn't want to trade him. Even though we all knew there was no secrets here that Pacheco was eventually going to come back. And this isn't like a Tyrone Tracy situation. Like Tyrone Tracy, we knew that Singletary was going to come back. But Tyrone Tracy went in there and lit it up and basically forced the Giants coaching staff to give him the job. Kareem Hunt didn't do that. Now, again, carried a big workload, scored some fantasy points, but overall the play was super lackluster. And Pacheco gives them more than that. So you may have missed the window on that one. We don't know if Pacheco is going to play this week. And if he doesn't, Kareem Hunt is still an RB2 like usual, you know, with the definite potential to crack the top 12 if he scores some touchdowns. But otherwise, I would just be, I'd be cautious there with any outlook on Kareem Hunt once Pacheco is back out there. And, you know, we're probably past trade deadlines in most leagues, so you may have just completely missed that window because you could have potentially traded him to whoever was rostering Pacheco. Like, if you were rostering Pacheco, then cool, you have Pacheco's cuff, you're good to go. You know, you win regardless. But I would just be really careful with all that. Let me rip through a couple other wide receiver stuff in particular here, a couple other injury situations. So Tyreek Hill limited in practice. That's actually good. I expect him to play this week and be fine. Devontae Smith, DNP yesterday. We'll see what he is today, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was limited. And then again, you know, if it's limited, he's playing. Calvin Ridley missed practice yesterday with an illness. I don't expect that to impact his status this week. We'll keep an eye on it, but that's been going around here recently. I don't think it's that big of a deal, but we'll just have to keep an eye on it. Over to tight end, George Kittle limited in practice, which is good. We heard that he could have potentially played. He was close to playing last week. The 49ers need to start stacking some wins, so getting Kittle out there would be good. Brock Purdy, his shoulder, he was a little sore after last week's game, but was limited in practice, so that is good. Sam Laporta practicing in full, so he should be back out there. And then Jake Ferguson is in protocol, so I would not expect him to play. We've already heard from the coaching staff that he's up against it to play this week. I put Luke Schoonmaker in my top 20, but well, just barely. He was at 20 in my latest update. I think you're probably getting a little too cute if you have to lean on Schoonmaker this week. There are better streamer options, including Jatavion Sanders, who comes back from bye for the Carolina Panthers. I don't love Jatavion Sanders. In fact, I only have one spot ahead of Schoonmaker, but let me run through the tight end streamers for you really quickly here. So Jonnu Smith and Will Disley, if you were able to grab those dudes either last week or this week, they're the best. They're top 12 guys. Otherwise, I don't have any other streamers in the top 12. So just outside the top 12, I have Zach Ertz, Tucker Kraft, Cole Kmet. They're 13, 14, 15. Decent enough. Mark Andrews is probably rostered at 16. Dalton Schultz at 17. Likely at 18. We know how volatile that can be. And then Jatavion Sanders at 19. So if you're looking for a streamer, you didn't get Jonnu, you didn't get Disley, then it's Ertz, Kraft, Kmet are probably your best options. I wouldn't get too cute with Schoonmaker. Like, yes, he did have the 10 targets last week. He'll have an opportunity to go out there. And by the way, Jerry Jones said Cooper Rush gives the team the best chance of winning. So there's that, Cowboys fans. So he did target him a bunch last week, but I just don't want to get too cute with that. Dallas right now, 3-win team, 3-7. Who knows if they win any more games? Who knows what happens from here? But, you know, I'm already starting to look at mock drafts, for instance. It's a weird one because, like, you have Jacksonville who's staring down the first overall pick. We know they're not going to take a quarterback, so they could trade out of that spot. Like, I saw Matt Miller over at ESPN had the Giants trading into that spot and taking Shador. Like, so my question, if you draft Shador, are you also drafting Deion Sanders as your head coach? Like, I don't know, but regardless, Jacksonville, no. Like Tennessee, right now, they'd technically be the number two pick. They could be like Will Levis could be playing them out of the need to take a quarterback if he continues to improve like he has over the last 2 weeks. So it's going to be pretty fascinating. We're a little ahead of ourselves there. I'll release my first mock draft in January. So, you know, we got plenty of time until then. One other quick note, too. So speaking of the Giants, they have Cutlets in there as the starter. And honestly, I don't hate him as a super flex option. Like, I have him at 22, so he's ahead of, like, Cooper Rush, for example. You could potentially use him there. But we're hearing that they do expect to lean on the run game a lot, so that's good for Tyrone Tracy. It's not an easy matchup, obviously, this week against Tampa. But Tyrone Tracy should have the opportunity to touch the ball a bunch. And remember, he's a converted wide receiver from the college level, so he can catch the ball to the backfield as well. This one shapes up fairly well for him. I'm at RB17 right now. Very startable, even though I'm not bullish on the Giants offense as a whole. Ty Tracy, you know, get the ball in his hands, get the ball in neighbor's hands, and good things should, in theory, happen for the Giants. So liking those guys this week. We'll, of course, talk more about that tomorrow. I have all the remaining game previews for you on the show tomorrow. Next week's going to be a little interesting. Maybe I'll set the table for that. So obviously I'm not going to do a podcast for Thursday next week. I will do a regular Friday podcast, though. And on Wednesdays, I've been doing the FTN fantasy football podcast. So basically next week, a lot of the content comes out a little bit earlier at FTN. I'm working all day on Thursday, so I'll still be updating rankings and projections and all of that. And I'm doing the radio show, but I'm just not going to do a podcast on Thursday of next week. So just in case, I don't know anybody who would be Well, maybe I have Canadian listeners. I know I have international listeners. So yeah, I'll be celebrating Thanksgiving. I will be working, but I'll still be celebrating the holiday. All right. I'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Blue Sky. How many more social media platforms can we add in? FTNFantasy.com as well. Go check it out. All right. I'll catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.